The Cultural Council's mission is to nurture, promote, and support a healthy, diverse, and inclusive cultural sector so that the arts and culture are a part of everyday life for everyone. We invite listeners to discover Florida's cultural capital online at palmbeachesculture.com. Everybody, welcome back to the Artie Growl podcast. I'm your host, Sarah LaPierre, and we're here to share things all art and culture in Palm Beach County. I have got a very special guest and a friend today with me, Scott Jeffries. You said off camera, insane person. We'll get to that, I'm sure.
I have a lot of titles, but I'm just glad to be here in this cozy spot with you today.
Thank you.
This is cool.
Thanks for sharing some time with us.
Of course. I got nothing but time for you, Sarah.
I appreciate you. I love that you came in here wearing some original art, too. Like, you're just always with the cool stuff, and most of it you make.
So. I mean, you have to rep yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, who else is going to do it, right?
There you go.
I mean, people, you know, how are you going to know what's available?
Yeah.
Everything's for sale, right? So you gotta let them know. And no, it's great. I mean, it's cool to be able to have your stuff and walk around, and people are like, "Is that for sale? What is that? Who made that? What is that?" And you can say, "It's me."
Yeah, it's some of the best advertising I ever do is when I walk around in my paint covered overalls, right? Like, how can you not stop and ask a question about them?
So
yeah. All right, we got to talk about background a little bit first. Give the people an introduction if they don't know you. So let's start like way, way back and talk about some of your early inspiration, which I believe was your grandmother.
Sure. I mean, definitely. Well, I was born in New York City. My mom is from the Bronx. My dad's from Harlem. And my grandmother was a painter. Right. And so when I was a kid, there was all these paintings all over the house, all over her house in the Bronx. And I didn't really know it was her for a long time. But I think as I grew up a little bit and kind of like paid attention to, I always loved the fact that I could see, right? My cousin was blind, right? And I think that I always appreciated the fact that I was able to see things and, you know, look at things and look at the clouds and look at the in New York City, the buildings and the people. And I was always just like, I was looking at things. Mm-hmm. And I think when, I would see art in my grandmother's house, I took the time to look at it, right? And when I found that it was hers, it was kind of an amazing thing. And then, you know, years later, when she passed away, I remember being at the funeral and my mom, she had a studio in the basement of her house in the Bronx, mm-hmm. right? And I remember standing there with my mom, and my mom was like looking at all the paintbrushes and canvases and tubes of paint. And she just said out loud, like, what am I going to do with all this stuff, right? My mother's gone. You know, what am I going to do with all this stuff? My grandfather had already passed away years before. And I was like, I'll take it. So I just remember grabbing all the brushes, it was like a kind of a box of paintbrushes that she had. And I kind of took that and put it in the car. And God, we were living in Pennsylvania at the time. And I just took all the stuff that I could and packed it away and brought it with me. And I was always a painter. I was always a doodler. I was always something kind of creative person, but never really like intentional. Mm. Like I was kind of never really organized painter. So when I remember when I got home from the funeral, I remember just like painting with intention, like on purpose, right? And it was just like, I was like, this is what I love to do this. And I was always doing it as a kid. If you look in my school books, my notebooks from like elementary school and mm-hmm. high school and college. And
the signs were there.
it was just tons and tons of doodles and doodles and doodles. But like, I think when I had got access to like the tools that my grandmother had been using for years and years, she was born like 1912, right? And painted for a long time. And she was like, you know, from the South and, you know, she wasn't like an artist, so to speak, like out there selling stuff. She was painting for passion, Yeah. Right. And I think that, you know, that really inspired me to, like, you know, when I think about her and the way I paint now, it's just always with a little bit of passion, like, cause I'm not a trained artist. I want, you know, we can talk about, you know,
First of all, we can get the word little out of there, not a little bit of passion. There's a lot of passion that I see in your work and in your studio. Like, the spaces that you inhabit are passionate spaces for sure.
It's fun. I mean, it's fun to be able to be free to do what God or higher power or whatever provides to you, right? And I think that over the past few years, I've been able to tap into that passion and just, like, build the momentum to keep going with it, you know? Yeah. And that's why I try to encourage artists all the time to just build momentum with what you're doing. If something happens and it's working, keep doing it. Keep doing it.
Yeah, I mean, you never know where those things are going to lead, whether it's for you personally in your own artistic creative development, if it's going to spark something else, or you make connections, you move in a different path, who knows?
Yeah,
and you've taken multiple paths. So that's what I wanted to talk about too. Like, law was a big part of your life.
Absolutely.
For a long time.
For a long time.
And that seems like a completely different world to me than the creative flow of art that you're in now. But is there a crossover?
I think... Such a weird path from this to that, you know. Yeah. So I think that you know, I practiced law. I was from Philadelphia. At some point, I went to law school, you know, after college, and I went to law school at Pitt and moved back to Philly. I was a lawyer for a couple of years. I was a public defender. I defended doctors in these medical malpractice cases, but I was still always, like, doodling and painting, and like, it was kind of my hobby, I guess, mm-hmm. right? And you know. We could talk about this all day and all night, but to make a long, long story short, what happened was I in 2006, I got sober, right? For many years in the early 2000s, I was doing lots of things that people that shouldn't do, right? You know, I was shooting heroin. I was smoking crack. I was doing everything in the world that, that people dream about or have nightmares about, more so to speak, right?
Right.
So so there was a point in time where I was able to, I got sober, I moved to Florida, which a lot of people do, surprisingly. But so in 2006, I got sober and I put the law behind me, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, but what the law did for me, I think, and even during early on, law school, and like the law teaches you how to think. Right. So I had a process of thinking in my head that allowed me to, like, you know, again, build momentum when I found it. Right. And kind of knowing that when, if I work hard at something, there's going to be a success, or if situations where, you know, there's a conflict, it'll be resolved.
Yeah.
Right. Nothing is that important or tragic that I can't,
or unsurmountable that you can't, like, right? Ultimately, you know, work past.
Well, sure, and yeah. I think a lot of artists, I think, suffer from this idea of perfectionism, right? They can't like get to the end of a painting because it's like it's not going to be good. I'm like, dude. Like, it's fine.
It's good now.
Like, the paint, I heard it say, it's like the paint is dry. Like, let it dry.
Okay.
It's fine. It's done.
Yeah.
It's done. And
listen, that's something that I always love, because we used to be studio neighbors, right? Sure, you're still at the Peach. I was at the Peach for a little while. And so I, you know, would kind of wander over to your space. You would wander over to mine. And I have always enjoyed stopping in, seeing what you're working on, seeing the previous pieces that are there, and just the energy that's in your space, but also this, it's so playful the way that you work. And there's, you know, like you said, non-perfectionist, you're jumping into things happily and then, like, okay, that's done.
I mean, it's the opposite of being a lawyer. It's the opposite of being in an office, like with a tie on, with a computer, like typing away or reading like cases or trying to, like, I spent a lot of time especially as a criminal attorney, trying to save someone's liberty from going to jail or save a doctor's, you know, reputation.
And the level of detail oriented that I imagine you have
to
be.
There's so much going on that it was tiring, right? And I think an artist has freedom if they allow themselves to have freedom, right? And, and that's what I kind of changed my mindset about, you know, like, give yourself some freedom, give yourself a break, you know, enjoy the opportunity that's been put in front of you, an amazing studio, hanging around with artists, like, you know, going to work and like creating something from nothing, yeah. Right? You know, I love the idea of going into the studio, you know, looking at a blank canvas and be like, you know, something's gonna happen today, yeah. Right? I don't know what, yeah. Right? I'm not someone that like sketches out things, and I just kind of just go with the flow, kind of sort, and things appear.
Yeah.
High level doodling.
So high level doodling. I love that. Oh, but man, more soul, people should do that.
I think one of my first solo shows I had long at the Boca Raton Library long ago was called Soul Doodles, mm-hmm. Right? I wanted like doodles from the soul, like doodles from the heart, just like letting myself be free. And that's what the art comes out sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I mean, I would walk over and you're one day, you know, you're on a canvas and the next day you're like sculpting giant heads out of, I don't know, cardboard and tinfoil and like paper mache.
I mean, I use what's available.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not ashamed to go into a dumpster and pull out a piece of wood or a piece of cardboard or whatever it is to make something.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's, you know, throw back to my grandmother who was like, you know, came from nothing, you know. My grandfather was a Pullman porter on the railroad, and, you know, serving like, you know, whatever. It's like there wasn't a lot of money to go around. So right, and when I was working, you know, I wanted to be able to pull from what's available, right, and not go out and buy things.
And that also creates a sense of freedom, because I think I see with a lot of artists who are getting into something, there's such a, which I can understand, but there's such an overwhelming preciousness about the materials because they don't want to, I hear it all the time, waste paint or waste materials. I'm like, you cannot do that. If you're using it, it's not being wasted.
It's so funny, like, because I have these classes, right? Yeah. And sometimes I've heard artists ask me like, well, how do you like divvy the paint up? I'm like, I don't divvy anything up. I'm like, I say, kids, like, there's the bottle of paint. Use whatever you want. You know, it's like Thanksgiving. Like, just use whatever you want. Take as much as you want, because I don't want to hold you back.
Yeah.
Right. And I think a lot of times people are held back by their own insecurities or fears or whatever. And when you walk into my space, I want the opposite of that. I want people walk into my space all the time, and they go, wow.
Yeah.
And I that's what I want. I want people to have that wow experience with my art, with their life, with everything. It's available.
It is.
To us all. Yeah. But I think sometimes it gets so that the logic of, like, you know, being a lawyer versus an artist, it's just freedom. Yeah. I have freedom today.
Yeah. Okay. So I am curious though, is there any part of like the, you know, the legal brain that comes out when you're like negotiating with a gallery, or have, I don't know, some sort of, you know, if you're doing work that's contracted by a city or somebody, like,
I mean,
is that kind of, you know,
I think what I have is that I know my worth.
Yeah.
And I've set my worth. Right. And I think that's important for someone to as an artist to be able to do, is, you know, that my work is worth X, Y, and Z. And I'm able to communicate that to someone without fear. Mm. You know, my friend Adam, who's talks about too, going for the no, right? If they say no, okay, it's fine. The world's abundant. This art, my art's for somebody. Yep. Right. And I think that the knowledge and the background that I've over the years, and just being, I mean, I'm 57 years old, for God's sake, you know, it's like, I'm not here to waste time debating you about how much, like, what, like, I don't, like, okay, you don't want it. I don't, what am I going to do?
Nice.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing too. I think it's, you know, we get one chance at life. Right. So I'm not going to waste time really with,
like trying to prove to anybody that you deserve to be here, or deserve to be at this price, or deserve to whatever. I mean,
it's like people ask me all the time. They go, well, I have these monumental big paintings. They're like, well, how long did that take to make? And I say all the time, 57 years.
Yeah. I love that answer.
Next week it's going to be 58 years. Yeah. So my value isn't based on materials or time or whatever. It's based on me. Right. Yeah. And how I feel about my art. And if you feel the same way, I have something for you. Right. And if you want a piece of my, you know, I sell these t-shirts, and I have something for everybody. Right. Mm-hmm. And I say it a lot, you know, everyone can't afford a painting. Right. Everyone can afford a t-shirt. right? If you want to, if you want some art, it's, which is great. I want you to like have a part of me. I don't sell prints.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I want you to have the real me. I want to have a real piece of me, but, you know, but it, I guess like having the background that I have, I think I used to negotiate multi-million-dollar cases, like these medical malpractice cases that it'll blow your mind. Like what happens. Right. Yeah. And sometimes you got to pay. Not me, like the doctor has to pay because of whatever happened. And like we paid, right? But it took a negotiating, it took what's reasonable, you know, and what was necessary. But you know, art's the same thing. You know, if I have a painting that, you know, that I've worked on and I love and I think it's been in shows or it has some value, right? In the art world. Right. And it's funny that sometimes it's hard because there's no hierarchy in the art world. Right. It's only in our mind that, oh my God, this guy's a great painter. This guy's great. This is great. But in reality, it's just paint on canvas. Right. So it all comes down to how do I think about it and what value do I put on it? And, you know, I can say no too.
Yeah.
Right. So
I love that. No's a full sentence.
No is a full sentence. Right. And, but the hard thing is like, you know, someone will offer me something for a painting. And I'm like, I would like to have that much, but no. All right. Not today. It's not for
not
you.
Today.
It's not for you. Right.
And that's all right.
And you have to, and I want people to aspire for the stuff that I have. Right. Mm-hmm. It's a, you know, I have collectors. I just met a collector of mine that, you know, he just bought a painting, but he's been like wanting a painting for like 2 years. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I finally, you know, was able to like save up the money that I wanted this painting and it was great because, yeah. You know, it's, they're buying the artist.
Absolutely.
More than the art.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's a whole experience.
It's a whole experience. And I want them to know me. I want them to be a part of me. Want them to know what the art's about or what I'm about. It's like, it's a whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So speaking of what the art's about and that whole thing, I like would say your work is just a lively mix of chaos and control. And I think maybe some of the chaos comes in when I see, you know, you in your studio grabbing different colors, different materials, and just getting into it. And then the control is you're somebody, like we mentioned earlier, who's like, okay, that's done. And I'm not going to be a perfectionist and I'm not going to like, you know, sit on something forever. You work through a lot of pieces and I love to see that motion, but how would you describe your work?
I mean, I think more than anything, I'm not afraid to try. Right. Simple as that.
Love an experiment. Right?
Just try. I'm working on these papier-mâché sculptures now. Right. Cool. They're turning out to be what I guess finally want them to be, but it's like they've been through so many alliterations themselves. First that they were this, and I tear them apart and put them back together. They were in this show, tear them apart, put them back together. And so it's like, you know, the art that I have is evolving over time, but there's always a base level of just like freedom, right? You know, I'm not trying to sketch anything out. I'm not trying to be, you know, you know, Leonardo da Vinci. Like I'm not painting portraits. Yeah. You know, can you do a dog portrait for me? No,
I can't. Have you seen my studio?
I can't paint a dog. So the great thing about it is ultimately when a client comes in and says, I want a painting from you, they know my style. They're not going to ask me for X, Y, and Z when they know what I'm ABC.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the great part about it. There's no confusion about what my style is, what my talents are, or what my purpose is. And if they question, I have no problem saying like, I can't do that.
Right.
I can't.
Yeah.
Right. But I think that I can do maybe what you, as a collaboration between a client and myself, I can maybe do something that we can create together.
Yeah.
Right. Cause sometimes the client doesn't know what they want.
Sure.
Right. They want something, but the reality is that, you know, but they want a part of me. So let's do something. Let's do something together. Right. So a lot of these paintings that I work on now, like even something like this here,
yeah,
is where, you know, these are my kind of my raindrop series of paintings, right? But a client will want like reds and blues and greens, mm, and whatever. Mm-hmm, and I have mm-hmm. no problem like giving them a palette that they are working with within the confines of my style.
Right. Yeah.
And
that can create something
no
special too, you know, if it's a nice for both of you, because you could also have a moment where you're like, oh, this red that I wouldn't have grabbed otherwise is doing something for me. And that leads you down another spark that, you know, starts the next thing for you. So it is, you know, when you're open to it, it's fun to take on those moments.
I'm not too proud of the paint to use your blue. I mean, who would I care? Right. And it's funny, like I'm working on a painting now where an old friend of mine requested a painting, and it started out as one thing, but she went to Michigan and she likes blue, right? So I got all the blues I could find, and I'm using all these blues in the painting, and it's coming out great. But it's like, I didn't think about it at first, and she didn't think about it at first, but after talking to her, it's just like, that's kind of like, make this a little, the blue painting for you, because that's what you love.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Why not?
Why not? Yeah. Again, back to also the experiments.
It's experimenting, and it's being open-minded to something, and actually like letting yourself like make mistakes too, because quote unquote mistakes, because everything's not going to work out perfectly how you want it to, but sometimes it does. And it really gives the art something special, because it's real.
Right.
It's me.
Especially in the age that we're in now with AI computer generation, everything to the perfection, or, you know, human-made, handmade is.
There's no mistaking that my art is not AI. It's like that a real person did that. I don't know who it was. It was like either it was a 5-year-old or a 57-year-old. But that's came out of a real person's hand.
That's perfect. Right? It's more of what I want to see.
Right? It's which is fine. You know, people use art for many different things, whatever, but there's no mistake. And what I love really too about the way I paint is like, you know, it's mine, mm-hmm. right? You know, if I'm walking down the street and I'm like, oh, that's a Scott Jeffries
for sure.
painting.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel good.
Yeah, it is wonderful when, you know, you have this clear and present style that even, like you said, through the fluctuations, through the different iterations of things that come and go, you have a recognizable hand that is just unmistakably you.
Because I can only paint like me, right? And it's funny, when I have these groups come in and they ask me, like, tell me what to do. I'm like, I'm not an art teacher. Right. I paint like me.
Yeah.
I want you to paint like you.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the key. That's what they're like, oh, that's a good idea. Why would you want to paint like me?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Paint like you.
You're just the conduit. You're here with the paint and the supplies.
I'm here to motivate you to do it.
Yeah.
Right. Cause a lot of times people are like, I can't paint. Right. And I'm just like, you can, right. Sure. Maybe you won't.
Yeah.
Or you're fearful, but once you get a brush, touch it to the paint, move it around the canvas, you're actually painting. Mm-hmm. So let's go.
Okay.
Right. And that's simple as that. And sometimes that's all people need, a little
absolutely.
Bit of
absolutely. Just the encouragement to get past that first step of, you know, it being scary because, again, the materials are too precious, or the canvas is a blank white canvas.
I'm not creative. I don't know how to do this. I never did this before. Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't ask you all those questions. Just like sit down. just come on, right?
Just hold a brush. Let's go.
Yeah.
So let's talk about community too, because you are, you know, you're such a welcoming person, and your space has been used for a lot of things. Again, you've got this great studio at the Peach, right? You have varying hours there. You've got all sorts of events going on. You've started hosting a Tuesday night.
Tuesday nights. It's called Come Paint With Me.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Right. And again, it's 6 to 8 at the Peach. It's completely free. We'll take donations. But really what it is I wanted to use my space for something. Right. And you know, what happened was, is that I was actually, I was teaching, I on Tuesday morning, every Tuesday morning, I have a group of kids come in from an adolescent treatment center.
That's right. Yes. I want to talk about this too.
So on Tuesday afternoon mornings, whatever, on this group, Family First, which is an adolescent treatment center.
Yes.
In Palm Beach Gardens. Right. So I'll just back up a little bit.
Yeah.
During COVID, I've been sober for a long time, and you know, I'm a lot in the recovery community. So I know a lot of people that are in that world. So a friend of mine worked at a treatment center down in Hollywood. And he said during COVID, he's like, my kids, my clients can't go out of the treatment center. Normally, like, on a Friday night, we go bowling, or we go this, or we go that, or whatever. They'd some kind of activity, you know, besides sitting in, you know, groups all day long and, you know, in the residence. So he said, can you come down to the treatment center and start doing like art groups outside? You know, we're all separated on different tables. So I heard it to, like, you know, build some kind of community of where I go to these treatment centers during COVID and do art groups outside. Right. And it was great. It just built up over time. Mm. It was awesome. But so when I got to the Peach, someone approached me and said, I work at this adolescent treatment center. We know what you do. Can you come to our treatment center to work with these kids? I said, how about you come here? Come to me. Everything is here, right? So every Tuesday, a van full of kids from this treatment center and their behavior and mental health, their oppositional defiant, they're bipolar. They have all these things that are going on with them, but they're kids, right? Mm-hmm. So we basically do a little art group, right? And they come in and I say to them, I'm not a therapist. I'm not here to analyze your life or whatever just goes on I know you're in treatment and you have these therapists and you have this and that. That is not me, right? We're here to have a good time, listen to music, kind of like we do a little meditation first, but it's like meditation emotion. Like I want you guys to, so when you're at a treatment, right? I want you to have an option beside doing drugs or doing this or doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, this is an option for you to do something instead of whatever you're going to do otherwise, right? So that was my Tuesday afternoon,
yeah.
Right? So I had all the tables in my thing set up, and I was like, you know, I ultimately wanted to do a thing where I did it with adults and bring people into the Peach, and you know, bring the community together. So I started to create this campaign with me on Tuesday nights, which is also Taco Tuesday, at the El Segundo, which is a restaurant next door. You know, it's under the Peach. You know, and it just started to be a thing, right? Where community is building. You have regulars. It's a place to be on a Tuesday night.
And that's back to that momentum you were talking about, locking into when you find something that there's like a great community aspect happening. You have the space, you have the materials, you have the capacity to open the doors and say, come on in.
And the first couple of weeks, it was just me and one other person. Then it was two people. Then it was three people. Then a woman came with her son, and she put a TikTok out, and that went viral it's just momentum has been building. And what I'm able to do is be consistent, and it's available, right? And it's not for anything else but to bring people together. And now it's great because it's like people are coming, like as couples or by themselves, just to meet people, just to do something, right? Just to, and the cool thing is it's not a sip and paint, right?
Right.
A lot of people, you know, think that it's like that you need to have alcohol to like have a good time, right? And this is the opposite of that. You can drink if you want to, right? But it's not a sip and paint, it's a paint.
Right.
Right. And it's a paint and hang and the connect. And that's the difference, I think, that why it's working is because people are coming to just to connect and talk to, and it's like they come in and I say, talk to your neighbor.
Yeah.
Like what's your name? Yeah. Meet, right? And you know, it's like again, like a big Thanksgiving dinner where you just pass the peas.
And you get to have this shared experience. And again, it takes away the fear and the pressure because, my neighbor hasn't touched a paintbrush in 13, 12 years, however many, never. And you get to kind of share this like
And I say release the fear
of being like cringe or doing something that you're bad at or not being good at it immediately.
And it's 2 hours. So it's all like you're not going to change the world in here in 2 hours. Right. And I started to think about it the other day. It's like stop, take your, put your phone away. Like stop trying to trace something you see on the phone.
Sure. Or look at it.
I want to look at this. Oh, this is, I mean, the inspiration is in there. Mm. Right. So I'm trying to encourage people to like, put your phone away. Stop looking at something else. Like create something that's inside of you.
I love that. Right? I think it's the same. Really, removing the phone is kind of the same thing as removing the alcohol too. Like a reminder that you don't need anything external in order to be creative.
You don't. And it's just like, that's why it's so cool to see a blank canvas. And all of a sudden it's like, we create something out of nothing. Yeah. Right. And we all can do that. Right. But it's just fear of I'm not going to do it right, or I mess up, you know, especially with the kids are like, they put like one stroke of paint on the canvas. I messed up. Mm-hmm. I was like, you do not throw that out.
I know. I remember because my studio was facing the front. So I would see the vans roll in. Right? I'd be like, oh yeah, it's Tuesday. It's Scott's kids coming in. And one time one of the kids, you know, came over with one of the counselors one of their guardians, whomever. And, you know, was really bummed out about the painting that they were like, this isn't good. I gave up. Like, can you give me some advice on this? I don't feel good about it. Like things are wrong. And I'm like, well, I'll share a lesson that my dad shared with me early on that stuck with me. And I feel like is a decent one to remember, that don't judge it too harshly. And if you feel like there's something wrong here, you're going to fix it on the next one.
Perfect.
This one's great as is. You've learned something. And now if you feel like you can improve upon the skills that you just put down on this, next one.
I love it. And a lot of times what I'm doing now is I'm giving them two canvases. Mm. So this is your canvas. This is your scratch paper. So it's like, what do I do here? I'm like, well, try it on this one and do it on that one.
Sure.
Right. Just give yourself what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right. You're 15 years old. You're 12 years old. It's like, it's going to be fine. Right. It's going to be fine. And, you know, once they understand that it's a freedom to make mistakes, mm-hmm. quote unquote, or mess up, or, you know, we're in painting, we're layering, we're putting layers on. It's like, there's nothing underneath, you know, but perfection, right? Progress is perfection. Right. When you're putting stuff on and layers on, you're putting on just like layers and layers of you. And ultimately it's going to like create, it's going to build to something. It's amazing. Yeah. Well, but you have to like pull it out of people sometimes.
Yeah. A lot of people need encouraging. That's all right. Your space is good for that though. Yeah. And even like, again, back to kind of the resourcefulness that you utilize as a creative. The last time I think I visited your studio, you had some of your faces and they had like these really chunky textural pieces and you were like, oh yeah, you know, the kids, they squeeze out their paint on the palette. Then eventually, you know, they don't use all of or whatever and it dries. You started peeling away those like chunks of paint and applying them to your canvases and making these faces. And I love that.
That is my new gold. It's gold. So a lot of the kids are very, I don't know what the word is. They like things to be like perfect, right? Clean. Yeah. So I use these little palette things and they started to peel off to be clean for themselves. I'm like, don't throw out those paint chips, right? Started to use the paint chips in my paintings, and that's going to be my show at Art Basel at Aqua. Awesome. Are those paintings, I'm bringing the oldest paintings down to Miami to, you know, show the world mm-hmm. that this is the new basically.
Right.
Of this like 3D versions of my heads that I've been doing for years. And it's it's momentum building. It's just like using what's available to you mm-hmm. and trying, because it's like a lot of times we just don't, it's not going to work. How do you know?
Do you ever have those moments where you're like, I'm not going to try today. Or I'm not going to bother today. Or do you just always, believe me,
I love, my favorite thing to do in the world is nothing.
I love a good nothing day.
Dude, nothing is great. Right. Yeah. But when I get motivated, I'm on like Donkey Kong. I love it. But you know, yeah. I, believe me, I'm not doing nothing because I'm fearful.
Yeah.
I'm doing nothing because I'm lazy.
Well, listen, I also have, like, I don't think there's a moral anything application to doing nothing. Like, I don't think doing nothing is bad, and I don't think it's good. I think sometimes nothing can be necessary, especially as a creative person, because you need space to breathe, to let something else in.
I mean, we're just talking about those paintings with the paint chips. What I'm doing now is I'm going back to my old paintings that have been sitting around for a while and kind of revisiting them, giving them new life.
Yeah.
Because they gave them space.
Here's an opportunity. Yeah.
Opportunity. Well, that's okay. These have been lying around for a while. You know, they used to be available for this much. Now they're going to be, now they're more.
That's right.
Because like the value has come up because they've been given a new life.
Yeah. Who knows? Cool. All right. We're going to take a brief little break. We're going to circle back. I've still got more questions. We're going to take a little break and hear a word from our wonderful sponsor, the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County. So stay tuned and check out this message from them.
Those dinner reservations and tea times will have to wait, because there's an art-filled paradise beyond these beaches. A mecca of masterpieces. Spectacular sights by day and night. A cultural capital that's calling your name. See so much more than you came for in the Palm Beaches.
We got to talk more about the upcoming exhibitions, though. Okay. So let's talk about, you founded Gallery OB. And this
are we
is
talking now. Are
yeah,
we,
yeah, okay, yeah. We're talking now. We're talking now. We're in
we're
it.
Back.
Welcome back.
I'm not used to this fancy, you know, commercial world. I've just been like, I'm just living my life, you know, on Georgia Avenue.
Listen, I remember Georgia Avenue was not that long ago.
I'll have to say, my commercial for you is that you're awesome. Because you're awesome and an inspiration, and just to watch you evolve is like the thing that people want to be. It's what I want. You know, I want to be you, right?
Listen, I want to be you. There's so many reasons that I'm so happy, lucky, blessed, whatever the word is, to be amongst like the peers that we've landed in. We have incredible people here.
That's what I love about just Palm Beach is that people are not trying to like be selfish about their joy, right? Oh, yeah. Share the joy, right? Why not, right? And that's, you know, I years ago, I started this gallery. First it was called the Outback Gallery. So I live in Lake Worth, and I wanted to, during the Lake Worth Painting Festival, I wanted to have people come see my art.
Sure.
Right? Because, you know, why not? It's an art festival. And so I moved to Lake Worth about 5 years ago, and I created something called the Outback Gallery. So I invited people, my artist friends and I that know, I said, okay, listen, what we're going to do is I'm going to put art up in my backyard, right? And when people come walking past my house, I'm going to be a sign in the front that says gallery. They're going to say, well, where's the art at? I'm saying it's out back, right? So it became the Outback Gallery.
Outback Gallery.
So basically that's where it started, in Lake Worth, at my house. Where, you know, I wanted, because a lot of people are always asking, like, where are you showing your art? What gallery are you in? Whatever. And it's just like, I don't have a gallery. You know, I'm anywhere. I'm at my studio. I'm at my house, whatever. I wanted to create something where people, including myself, were able to show their art, right? Because like, art's great, you know, but people need to see it.
The access to it access is important. To it,
right. It's great, but how are you going to know? Right. Instagram is great, you know, but to see, you know, Facebook is great, but to see a painting in person is like everything. Yeah. It's everything. Right. So I started to do this, you know, over the past couple of years, and it evolved into like, you know, doing it at, so a couple of years ago, I was at Spectrum, which was like, you know, I had a solo show at the Spectrum during Art Basel. And the next year, there's this show called Red Dot, which is next door, and they only allow galleries there.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? I want to make this like a real thing where we can go on the road and start, you know, bringing artists from wherever to these places. Mm-hmm. So Outback Gallery became Gallery Ube. I mean, a Gallery Ube, just I used to be a little more fancy, sure. Right? Yeah, I mean, yeah. A little more cachet, right? From Outback Gallery, Gallery Ube, you know, and so that's where it became just, but it's still Gallery Outback, yeah. Right? But it's just, you know, so last couple of years ago at Basel, we were at Red Dot, and I had maybe a couple of different artists there. My friend, Ryan Twa and Austin, and it was great, right? My friend from New Orleans was there, an artist too. It just evolved over time to what I want it to be, and it's still evolving, yeah. Right? To have art in like these kind of unconventional spaces, you mm-hmm. know.
I don't know if you know this, but this is like kind of trending now, becoming more popular, where artists are doing this similar thing. They're hosting galleries in their backyard, like they're creating, you know, they're using their fence, they're creating, you know, some temporary walls, they're inviting other artists, they're doing the non-traditional spaces because there is too much, you know, like behind the red tape or behind the closed doors or knowing the right people or playing the game, you know, that not everybody is allowed to play or win.
Dude, we have to, as artists, we have to be proactive in our own lives, in our own business, in our own everything that, you know, and I'm on the Mercer Arts Foundation. Yeah. They can talk about that. But like I want artists to like be capable of what's available. They can do these things, right? Yeah. Putting stuff up in your backyard is not hard, right? Calling if you're an artist, you know other artists, your artist friends, you know, call a bunch of them and be like, yeah. Hey, let's have a show.
Got a couple easels? Let's go.
Let's do it. Put it on Facebook and whatever, and then like people will show up, mm-hmm. right? And what you're doing is you're creating your own community of people that are gonna only be like, you know what, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this. And if like say you have five artists in your show. They each invite five people. It's like people will come, right? You might not sell anything, right? But what you're doing is you're building a community, right? You're building something, and that's what I wanted the Outback Gallery to be, is mm-hmm. to kind of like build a community of people where we support each other,
yeah,
right? And that's why I learned that from Trina. You guys have had Trina and Anthony on the show.
They've been on, yeah. Right? They were just on recently,
that's about building community of people that support each other. That are gonna like be like, hey, you know, I want to have this thing going on. We want you to be a part of it. Come be a part of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Those kind of people who are in your corner, who are ready to be your champion, and even, yeah. you know, say like, oh, there's this call out, or here's a, you know, show coming up that I think your work would be perfect for. I have a collector that's looking for something. Yeah. I want to come introduce them to you.
I need mentors. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about art, right? But when I got here, right? When I moved to Florida, I wasn't in the art world. Right, I was a newly sober drug addict, you know, trying to get my life together, and all of a sudden, like, but I had the motivation, and all of a sudden, I was meeting these people, and I was just like, you know what, I want what you have. I'm going to start doing what you do, volunteering at the continuums of the world, and you know, putting myself out there and making myself available. So. You know, people know that I'm interested,
yeah.
right? And it's not always about, it wasn't always about me, right? I'm very good at selling my other people's art, mm-hmm. right?
I've seen you tour everybody around the Peach. If anybody comes to visit you, they do not escape the Peach.
Yeah,
you'll walk them around.
You have to do it that way. And I learned that at that continuum from Trina Anthony.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, sell other people's stuff.
Sure.
Right. Cause then karma, maybe it's a thing, who knows, but it works. Right. And you know, I've always wanted to be the person that's like, cause I was, believe me, I, as a drug addict and as a lawyer, I know how to be selfish. Right. So part of my new life, my new mindset is like, yeah. to not be that.
You're now the hype man for yeah. anybody who's ready to like yeah. have that hype man. Yeah. yeah.
And a hype man in the studio, in my group, it's like, I want you guys to do it. So,
yeah.
So coming up on, you know, in December during Art Basel, my gallery is going to be at, a show called Satellite.
Yeah.
Right. Which is on South Beach. It's going to be my art and my friend Brian Cattell. are going to have a show that's called Headspace, right? We both do a lot of faces, a lot of heads, a lot of things. So our show is called Headspace, and we're going to have a lot much art there.
Now, is this what I got a little sneak peek of earlier?
Oh, no, no, that's Aqua.
Okay, so, okay. So because there's another one, there's another exhibit so happening. So you've got two going on.
I am also going to be part of my friend Norb Blazikovic has a gallery called Irreversible Projects.
Oh, yeah.
I've known her for years, right? So she is putting a booth together at Aqua, which is a different show on South Beach, same show. So she's doing a show of small pieces of art, right? Okay. So I'm creating these ceramic heads.
That's what I got to see.
The clock is ticking right now, but it's coming. But we're gonna get it done.
Yeah.
You know. So I'm gonna be at Aqua. I'm gonna be at Satellite. I'm gonna be in South Beach in Miami. I'm gonna take the Palm Beach artist life on the road.
Absolutely.
And put myself out there. And believe me, that's what, you know, when I do shows like this. It's an investment in myself mm-hmm. and the people that I support, because, you know, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a business for me. This is my life.
Sure.
Right. And I think, again, it's a lot of people, and I want people to look at me and say, you know what, I can do that too. Right. It's not that I want, it's fear mm-hmm. that will hold us back. You know, even to talking with people that I was trying to get to do the show. It's like, I don't know. Right. Okay. Well, I gotta move on.
Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, it's opportunities come and go. Mm-hmm. Right. But sometimes you gotta take a chance, take a risk. And that's what I did the first time when I I got sober, I took a risk. Right. Yeah. When I moved to Florida, I took a risk. When I, you know, started the Outback Gallery in the back, I took a risk. When I started the Gallery OB, I took a risk. It's like, you know, we have to take these risks to see what's available to us. And see what works, and, you know, adjust the sales if something's not working perfectly, and, you know, just keep moving. But mm-hmm. it's like this is a life that has, you know, value, you know, and it's, you know, it's fun.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I'd rather be hanging out with you right now than sitting in an office like typing like
same.
Law stuff.
Hard same.
Like, what am I gonna do? Like, yeah. You know, I gotta go to court, put a tie on. No. Hell no.
Listen, I think I had a retail job for 48 hours and I said, goodbye.
No, it's like, there's better things this life is a gift.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I love to hear, you know, artists go, Michael, complain about their art life. I'm like, okay, go do something else. Like, see how that works out for you. Come on. Right. So, you know, I'm not lost on the fact that this is a good deal. Right. But it's sometimes good deals take a little bit of work. Right. Sure. And like I said, risk, you know, and, you know, the thing too about these shows, you know, is that it's, you know, you're down in Miami and there's 1,000 choices of people that they're like, you're not always going to sell your painting like that day. Mm-hmm. Right. I remember when I first went down there for Spectrum a couple of years ago, you know, I sold maybe a couple of paintings that day, but I sold every other painting in that booth over the next year.
Yeah.
Right. So it's really the commercial. It's the momentum builder.
And like you said, it's an investment, but people need to remember that it can be a long-term investment.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Because yeah. I think there, and I wanted to ask you this too, like, knowing that, you know, you've had the experience of doing these kind of shows multiple times. When you're planning this, are you setting any expectations? Are you trying to, you know, I don't know, meet some sort of goal? Or how do you, what kind of mindset are you going to these events with?
Now, I go in there expecting this to sell nothing that day.
Okay.
Right. If I do, great. Right. But I can connect. Mm-hmm. Right. It's about connection. It's about connection, about connection. It's about who's going to see your stuff. Who's going to think about your stuff? How are you approaching people? How are you following up with them? Right. Cause a lot of times these paintings, I mean, sometimes if a painting is like this, $10,000, that's like buying a car, a crappy car, but just a car.
That's still a car. Yeah.
Right. You know, or a car or whatever it is. It's not small potatoes. Right. So for some people, right. Sure. Sometimes $10,000 is like whatever, you got it. Right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so it's like, they're thinking about it. They have to talk to their designer or their wife or their husband or whatever.
Which house is it going to go in? Is it going to go in the Florida house or the New York house?
They got to measure, right? I got to measure, right? But the thing, but it's too, like this year I'm focusing more on smaller paintings because over time it's like people can see, they can kind of visualize more maybe what a smart painting could look like in their house. They have space, right?
Right.
But the real goal is of these shows is to get them back to the studio, right? I want you to come to the Peach. I want you to be in my space. I want you to see my larger paintings. I want you to sit there and not the hustle and bustle of the Art Basel.
I want you to sit down
and chit chat with me. And I want you to see my larger pieces. And
let's talk about. You can get the full Scott Jeffries experience.
I want you to be friends with me for the rest of your life, right? And a lot of them they are, right? But that's the thing. I want them to be part of me, right? Mm-hmm. And I want them to feel like they've I pay attention to, because if you're spending $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 on a painting, right? I want you to know who you got it from.
Sure.
Right. And I want you to enjoy it. I want you to I love this guy.
And for that, yeah, exactly. That's such a wonderful, mindset to have, because I think it's something that many artists tend to miss or don't recognize that it's such an important part of their of what people are buying into. I'm not by any means a huge art collector, but I do love to collect art.
Yeah, and I do too.
A big part of that is like, oh, I know this person and there's a story behind it and why we chose this piece or why it ended up being here, or like, the whole encompassing package is such a good memory to attach to something that you might look at every single day.
It's great. I get texts all the time from people that say, Scott, I love this painting. It makes me smile every day. And I just it's like a random text. Yeah. I'm glad you like it. Right. I'm glad. Right. Because that's what it's about. Cause it's like, you're putting a piece of you in someone's house.
Yeah.
Right. And they're walking past it on the way to work every day or coffee or whatever.
Just letting that realization sink in.
Yeah.
Whenever that happens, I'm like, oh my God, that's huge.
It's great. I love this. I got this random text and it's a lot of these paintings too, that bring people joy.
The faces, yeah.
Because it's just like, they're like, I see myself in this paint. I see myself. I see my kids. I see you, I see me, I see something different all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's what it is. It's like, my paintings are mirrors, right? That's what I can say. It's a mirror of what you see that moment, right? And the more that an art collector or whoever's in my space is looking at stuff, it's like, I see something in me in that work, in that face, right? And it's amazing.
Yeah,
right?
It is. There's a little moment of magic that happens there. Can I share with you one of my favorite version of texts that I get is people will every once in a while send me pictures of clouds or sunsets and be like, these are Sarah clouds.
Oh, that's it.
And I'm like, you're looking up at the clouds thinking of my paintings. What could be better than that?
It's great.
It's the best.
It's great. And even people are like traveling wherever and they'll see a painting of somebody, not mine, but they're like, this painting remind me of you. Mm-hmm. They're thinking about me. I'm just minding my own business, right? I'm like, oh, I appreciate it. You're in Canada or wherever you are.
Yeah.
And they're like, they send me a text of like, and it's like, I like that. And I'm like, I love it. Get the name.
So good. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You figure out who it is. That's. And I love when people come into the studio, people that are like, that are collectors, but just people are knowledgeable about art. And they're like, I was with a woman the other day and years ago, someone told me about Purvis, an artist from Miami.
Okay.
And what's it? I forget his last name right now, but he's a famous black artist from Miami who was like, my art reminded me of him, of her to this guy, this woman. And I was like, oh, I never knew who that was until years ago. Someone mentioned that this art reminded me of Purvis. So I was like, oh, it's great. Right. To be able to have people tell you about your art that you have nothing about.
Yeah.
Right. I'm a big fan of now the Cobra art movement, which is like these Dutch painters in the 50s and 60s. I knew nothing about it. Right. But someone came up to me and said, oh, that art reminds me of X, Y, and Z. you should look this up. And I look it up. I'm like, holy, this is great. Right.
Yeah.
So
that's what art does. It creates these extra moments of expansion, whether it's for you or for the viewer.
It's like I'm getting my art school for free. Right. I went to law school, you know, undergrad and law school, and I went to drug rehab. Right. Right. And art school is my life. It's how I'm talking to people on a regular basis, learning about how, you know, what it's all about. Purvis Young. He's sick. He's awesome.
I always love hearing new artists. New to me artists, obviously. Yeah, it's great. All right. There's a couple other things. Like, let's circle back to the recovery. You've always been open about that.
Absolutely.
How has that journey, I guess, shifted the way that you show up in the art world?
I think, again, it's all about freedom. Yeah. It's all about not taking myself too seriously. You know, it's not that important. Right. You know, I should be dead for real. And I think that when I wake up in the morning and I'm alive, it's like, why not have a good time? Right. Why not like go attack life with purpose? Why not attack life with joy? And, you know, because I spend a lot of time, it's like what I'm doing now, a lot of addicts and alcoholics, they spend a lot of time alone. It's about isolation, right? And so what I'm doing now is I'm building community and giving people opportunity to be connected to each other, right? So they don't have to be alone, right? They don't have to, I can be alone. I could feel lonely, you know, in a stadium, mm-hmm. right? But I don't feel that way anymore, right? Because I wake up with a little bit more of a purpose.
Yeah.
That's you know, not getting drunk and not getting high all day long, right? And it's like I found a community of people that are like-minded.
Not just right? found it though, making it too.
Yeah, making it and thriving in it and pulling people in to it, right? I'm trying to give people the mindset that you know, you can, and that's why I love the campaign with me nights, like, because people are coming like by themselves, mm-hmm. right? You know, and they're like, you know, adults, mm-hmm. right? You know, and it's all ages, but it's like, you know, hey, come on in, have a seat, like hang out with us. Right. Meet Sally, meet Joe, meet whatever, you know, this is like, I want you guys to be friends. Yeah. Right.
And you've been there, and I, you know, in multiple ways in the addiction and out of it. And I think artists similarly share probably a lot of those experiences of isolation, because being an artist can be extremely isolating. So I think opening that door and, you know, knocking down the barrier, making it casual, welcoming, it's, you know, the antithesis of like, you know, any pretense or anything like that you're giving people a space is huge.
And that's why I think the people in Palm Beach that I've met so far, artists are like, they're like, hey, I see you're doing paper mache, blah, blah, blah. I like to use this kind of whatever glue, you know, try this out.
Yeah.
Right. Who was the guy? I forget his name. There was a guy early on that I was like, he made these word paintings, whatever. He died a couple of years ago. He was, but he was like, I'm like, how do you get your painting so shiny? he's like polyurethane, whatever. Right? What do I know? Right.
Yeah.
But I was amazed by that. He like told me, right. Not that was me that he told me. I was like, he was just like, yeah, this is how I do it. Right. Yeah. It wasn't a secret. Right. We're not, I'm not here to give secrets. And, I was like, that's how I want to be. Mm. Right. Because I think it's like a lot of people, the problem is that I think about just myself all the time, right?
my problem is selfishness. My problem is it's like, you know, I'm not much, but all I think about, right? And that's where my mindset changed when I got sober. It's like I stopped thinking about me. I stopped making my own rules, right? Mm. I started to ask for help, right? And especially in the art world, it's like, I don't know, you can ask Trina and Anthony that I was in my early art shows with them, right?
Mm-hmm. Trina and Anthony Burks.
Trina Burks, right?
They've been on the show.
They've been on the show. Yeah. So they're very mentors of mine and have taught me a lot, right? But I went to it. I applied for a show, got in the show. I brought the painting to the space. And the back was, I had used, what's it called, masking tape? The tape. What's the tape?
Duct tape?
Duct tape.
Yeah.
They're like, dude, you can't duct tape a painting like to the frame. That's not how we do it here. This is real life, right? I'm like Basquiat. This is like, it's like, no, bye, dude. Just get a nail, right? Whatever, right?
Buy a screwdriver,
whatever. You're like, whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was funny, but it was, it informed my life in that, like, you got to step the game up, right? If you want to sell this stuff. And that's what I try. That's what I'm doing. Right?
But when you find yourself with those people, that then sparks something within you that's like, oh, that moment of resource sharing is so good. And it's good for me and it's good for them. And it's good for the whole community. If I have an opportunity to turn around and say, here's the next little up level can do.
And that's how I met Noor. Because I was at an art show. And after the show, a lot of the artists were kind of like complaining about X, Y, and Z. This didn't go right, blah, blah, blah. And me and Noor, I didn't really know her. And she's like, well, what's up with you? Why aren't you complaining about whatever happened, right? I'm like, I'm just grateful to be here, right? And she's like, oh, okay, I want to work with you, right? And she gave me her card. And, you know, 2 months later, I'm like at Art Basel. Because I had a good attitude, simple as that. Didn't complain, you know. And she helped me create this, like, you know, my 20-foot tall inflatable X.
Oh yeah,
I've had you know shows, solo shows with her and Brickell and Miami and so many that we'd made a book. I mean, it's like I've done all these things with this woman, only because I had a good attitude. On a day, right? As opposed to, you know, any other day. And that's what pays, mm-hmm. Not like being a jerk, right?
And it feels better in the long run, too. It's like momentarily, it feels good to be like, ugh, that sucks. This sucks. Yeah. Like,
oh, it's raining.
For a couple of minutes, that feels good.
It's going to rain. I'm like, we live in Florida. It rains all the time. Right? What are you going to do? Right? I can't go. I can complain about the rain or I can get an umbrella. What do you want from me? Right? It's just like, I don't know. I don't know, sometimes just like, dude, just get over yourself. It's not that important. It's like, we're having a good time.
Yeah.
Right? We're here to have a good time. Like in my groups, 2 hours, have a good time with the kids. Dude, we're here for an hour and a half. Have a good time. Right. We're going to put music on.
You can stress so many other places in your life. Yeah, use this opportunity to chill, to set that aside.
Chill out. We're painting.
Not that serious.
Yeah.
I love it. So Tuesdays evenings.
6 to 8.
6 to 8. It's at the Peach in West Palm Beach. It's open to anybody.
Free, all ages.
You know, you can come. You can get Taco Tuesdays at the restaurant right on site. You know, if you want to grab a drink there, you can grab a drink there.
It's $3 tacos, $5 margaritas, and 6 to 8, 8 o'clock, you leave. It's 8 o'clock, it's over. It's free. Get out.
Now, do you see a lot of the same people coming back?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. But my dream is to have, because you've been to the Peach, obviously, mm-hmm. but there's like, we're underneath like the
Southern Boulevard Bridge.
The bridge is to have tables and tables of people just painting.
Yeah.
Like a family reunion, just the tables of people painting away, having a good time. But sometimes we have 6 people, sometimes we have 20. Who cares? Either way.
One person is cool.
One person is cool. Believe like, me.
One person showing up.
I don't
up
mind
is cool.
the chill thing. Yeah. But I got plenty of paints, plenty of brushes, plenty of canvases. You know, come with a good attitude and you're in.
There you go.
And you can come late. You can come late, but you're still leaving at 8.
Boundaries are important too.
Yeah, it's good. You know.
All right. Listen, is there anything that I missed? We talked a little bit about No More Starving Artists. I did want to ask, what do you think this area is getting right? Or like maybe what do you think this area needs to work on a little bit more when it comes to supporting artists here?
I think that what we need is more shows, right? More access to shows. I think that like, you know, I love having a show in my backyard. I want people to get motivated to like to create spaces for other artists. Right. And it could be in a restaurant or in your backyard, or if you're an artist, like just think bigger, right? And think outside of yourself, right? That's what I want people to do. You know, I think we have the people here. We're here.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's what we do right, is that we just need, you know, more people to be motivated about what's available to them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We have the people, we have the talent for sure here, but I think that's a good point, you know, and maybe also, like you said, think bigger, but also think out of the traditional boxes of what a art show has to look like.
Exactly. You can have an art show wherever you are. If there's put up an easel and just, you know, say, here it is. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and I think really, I want artists to what the No More Starving Artists Foundation is doing is I want artists to be more involved in their advancement, right? Mm. Like, get an Instagram, right? You know, get an LLC, you know, frame your work without duct tape, right? you know, ask questions.
Yeah.
You know, we have on a Wednesday night at the Peach, we have the Brass Tacks, which is just a community of artists that come and just, they put the ideas on the table and we talk about it.
It's Artist Roundtable. Again, it's free. It's, you know, community networking, meeting your peers. Yeah. I love it. All different level artists, all different stages of life or career. It is a great place
it's a great thing, but I also want artists to go to each other's art shows.
Absolutely.
I want you to visit studios, visit the Peach, visit the Norton, visit the Cultural Council. Like, go see see what other artists are doing.
Yeah.
Support them, show up for them. If you see a post about even on Instagram, like if you see a post, like, give it a like.
Yeah.
Right. Because that builds the algorithm of the people, and it gives them a way to push it out one thing further. And like,
absolutely. These are free ways to engage. It doesn't cost you anything to comment,
I love
to share to somebody, even to go to, you know, just, I'm going to an exhibit tonight in Lake Worth. It's open to the public. Yeah. It's free. But going there, supporting some of my friends who are in the show, shout out to the Cultural Council again, because it's at their headquarters. My friend Jen Noel, she's one of the fiber artists. It's a fiber art show. And I could be like, well, you know, I'm a painter. That's fiber arts. Yeah. That's not for me. Whatever.
And it's like, absolutely.
But it'll feed me going there.
Of course.
It'll support them.
Of course.
And it'll, you know, be a part of showing our community that we want and need more of this.
Get off the couch. It's Thursday night. Get off the couch. Like, what are you doing?
And it's like,
because I'm so used to when I would go to this show, whatever, and I'm just like, thank God I went, because otherwise I would have missed it. Right. Mm. If I don't show up, I'm going to miss it. Right. And that's what I loved almost like for the campaign with me. It's just like, dude, I last week we had a great turnout, and I posted on Facebook with a picture of everybody there. I said, y'all were invited. Where were you?
Yeah.
Right. Because we're doing it. Because we're going to do it whether you show up or not. Right. I'm going to go to Basel whether you come down there or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's like, I'm in the mindset of the doing, right. One chance at life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's good energy to be around whether you're an artist or not. Yeah, and anything. I'm glad that, you know.
And I think too, the main thing about me is that my mindset applies to artists and mechanics and nurses and doctors and lawyers and teachers. And, you know, it's to show up like with a good mindset, and you're going to attract, you know, positivity.
Absolutely.
Why not?
Yeah. It's better than the alternative.
Right.
Might as well try. Do that experiment. Try. I'd rather that.
Try.
Yeah. All right. Well, I feel like I could continue this conversation for more hours, but you know, there's art shows to get to. So we got to go. We got to go do. But before I let you leave, I do have 2-3 more questions.
Okay.
So one question I ask everybody who comes on the show, which is that if you're going to recommend a place, an event, a public piece of art, anything related to arts and culture that you think people living here or visiting Palm Beach County should experience, what would that be?
Or the Norton. Right. Simple as that. Yeah. Or the Boca Museum.
Both fantastic.
Because what happens is when I'm in a museum, and I love museums. I was just in Philadelphia. I went to the Barnes Foundation. Ooh. I went, there's a new a Calder Museum in Philly. And it like just gives you like a little space to just be like, put your phone away for freaking 10 minutes of your life, right? You don't need to take pictures of everything. Don't put your phone, go to a museum and leave your phone in the car or in your pocket. You don't need to take a picture of it. You can look it up later on the Google if you have to,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Give yourself an opportunity just to enjoy the painting, right? That's what a museum is to me, is such a good way to kind of experience art. Mm-hmm. And of course, come to the Peach.
All of it.
You know, because there's six of us, six studios there. We got tons of art. We have, Anthony Burks and Nick and Victoria and Craig McGinnis and Cass O'Brien is like an amazing ceramicist, is the word.
Yeah, pretty much every genre is
We got it. And, and you can meet us in like real people.
Yeah.
We're actually real.
Yeah, living real artists.
Artists.
Yeah.
Bye before I
die. Come have a conversation.
Yeah. Bye before I die. Right.
I think that's on a t-shirt next.
Yeah.
You know, it hasn't been already. Right. It probably is.
I've hashtagged that many times, but they don't listen. My dream is I'll be long gone. Right. And, my friends or whoever bought one of my paintings, they'll be like hanging in their house or whatever, and their kid's house. And all of a sudden you'll see a painting of mine come on the Antique Roadshow. Right. And it'll be one of my little heads, and they'll be like, oh, this is a Scott Jeffries from like the 2006, whatever, blah, 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 blah. They're like, oh, that's right at like $19 million. And they'd be like, oh my God, I have one of those. I have one of those at my house, right? And I'd be like, he was right. He was right.
You're somewhere like whoever somewhere, knows. Like just,
I'm in the heavens.
You get a little like extra sparkle.
You know, and my kids, grandkids are like, thank grandpa knew Scotty J. He was great.
I knew. Well, listen, you thank your grandmother, the inspiration started somewhere for her as well. And actually you brought in a piece, you know, we only had one easel here, but you brought in a piece of hers. And as soon as I saw it and you told me about it, I'm like, I see the resemblance. Like I see the familial, there's something about the movement that she has in this painting that is just...
She's the real deal.
There's something in there. It's really cool.
I can do a little flash of it on the screen.
Yeah, we'll take a picture of it.
Take a picture of it. You can share it. She deserves it.
Okay, other piece, last little bit here. If you were to give out some advice, and I feel like we've already said plenty of advice, you know, but if you're, you know, giving some advice, maybe it could be for somebody, you know, going through recovery, could be for somebody who's in another career and wants to transition into art full time. What's a little something you would leave with them?
First try, simple, right? Give yourself a break. Don't take yourself too seriously. It might not work that day, right? But what do people say? It's like, it always works out in the end. If it hasn't worked out, it's not the end. Not the end, right? So just keep pushing forward, right? Don't let people tell you no, right? Because only your it's your life, right? And when you start living your life for you, a little selfishly, right? And what you want to do and what brings you joy, you'll spread the joy, you know?
Yeah, it'll just compound further, right?
I guess it's in recovery, a good friend of mine just passed away. It's just like, dude, it's like we have one chance at this, right? So like, you know, I made a conscious decision a while back to stop really trying to complain. Like, dude, all the person that gets aggravated by that is me, right? I'm trying to live a peaceful and happy, joyful life. And, you know, that's my advice. It's like, you know, just try to be, you know, show up for yourself, you know? And when you do that, the domino effect happens and people love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's good to be around.
Yeah.
We need more of it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm ready for the whole like Scott Jeffries motivational tour.
This is it.
I love it. Thank you again for sharing your time with me.
Thank you.
For sharing your time with us, your artwork.
This is cozy.
I love it.
It's cozy.
I'm glad to spend some of it with you. And I want to make sure people know where to connect with you. So Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever you're using, tell them
Instagram,
where they can find
Scott Art, Scott Art. That's my Instagram. That's my favorite.
I love it.
My website is scottyjart.com, scottyjart.com. And the gallery website is galleryob.com.
Cool. And you can come find him at the Peach.
Find me at Aqua, find Nora at Aqua, find me at
Satellite.
Satellite, you know, or Tuesday night, the
Tuesday
Peach.
Tuesday nights, yes.
Yeah. Get a taco. $3.
Come paint.
Hey, it costs nothing.
I love it. All right. Thank you. We are going to say, you know, again, appreciate you all for listening. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Artie Raw podcast. And one more time, thank you to our wonderful sponsor, the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County. We'll see you next time.